I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than songs we sing. Much more than that emblem on your chain. But it means I'm free from the chains of slavery. And the blood that shed won't let my sins remain. Hallelujah. Upon the cross my Savior died. The Lamb was crucified. Showed us love that this world had never known. Oh, what love divine, so divine, true love you'll never find. So that we might live, love came and died alone. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory, heaven sent, gave all on Calvary just for me, just for me. Thank you, Lord. Jesus came and did it just for me.
Will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory, heaven sent, gave all on Calvary.
Yes, he did.
Just for me. Just for me.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus came and did it just for me.
Oh, sing it just for me.
Just for me. Just for me.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Jesus came and did it just for me.
Oh, just for me.
Just for me.
Yes, he did, yes, he did.
Jesus came and did it just for me.
Sing just for me. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Yes, he did.
Came and did it just for me.
Sing it one more time. Sing
just for me.
Oh yes, just for me.
Just for me.
Oh Jesus, hallelujah.
Jesus came and did.
me. Jesus came and did it just for me.
God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. God is so great, yet he seems so far. When I talk to him, it seems that he doesn't even hear. How can I love God who I cannot see? But this is my dream, the goal of my life. So take my life.
Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. To announce to you, amen, that the anointed Apostle Joel is here. Amen. Oh, I believe they're going to. Okay. Amen. Oh, put your hands together. Amen.
Clap for the Lord, everybody.
I believe we are blessed. Amen.
Amen. Before you sit down, let us pray. Father, we thank you for Good Friday. Good Friday because it is the day that you gave your son who gave his life that we who were lost and who were far away from you can be brought near. So tonight, we celebrate this provision. We celebrate the giving of your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For you to want us to have everlasting life itself is a sign of your great love for us. And tonight, we have nothing in our hearts but gratitude. We thank you for sending Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving your only begotten Son that we might live, that our sins may be forgiven, that which has put a distance between us and you will be removed, so that we who were far off, distanced by our sin, distanced by our rebellion, will begin to turn towards you in righteousness and in true holiness. Such holiness as we cannot afford on our own, but as is made possible through the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for tonight. We pray, Lord, that in the short time that we get into your word, we pray, Lord, that you open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Tonight is the night of miracles, a night where we receive miracles, miraculous healing, miraculous provision, and a miracle in any area of our lives, Lord, that would take a miracle. And we thank you because with you nothing is impossible. If we look up to you, we will not be disappointed. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son.
For giving us your Son.
Thank you again. in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Give Jesus a clap offering, everybody. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may be seated, please. Amen. Well, tonight is a very important night. Amen. Because after tonight, you're going to begin to live a life of miracles. Hallelujah. Tonight, God is going to usher you into an era of miracles. If only you believe, your life will become a life of miracles. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Amen. Are you with me? Now, I believe that when we talk about miracles, often we are looking at miracles of healing and, you know, usually something physical like that. Hallelujah. And those are great and powerful miracles. Amen. But one other area of life where God's people need miracles, especially people who live in California. Amen. Because as we're here tonight, there may be some of you who need healing, and God will heal you also. Hallelujah. But what I see more commonly as a pastor in California is not so much people who need physical healing. In fact, since I started pastoring this church, I've never seen one lame person, amen, or cripple, or even one blind person. Do you understand? Yeah. Only Kawi was, for a short season, lame and limping, but even she got healed. Hallelujah. But what I do know is that many of us here need miracles of provision.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Many of us need a miracle of our physical needs being met. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And somehow, when it comes to miracles, many of us have excluded ourselves because, maybe because we are not sick. And the only or the more popular form of miracles that we know, you see, and that we sort of more easily recognize as a miracle is the miracles of healing and miracles of perhaps even deliverance. Do you see what I'm saying? Which are the great, great, great kind of miracles that you see also in the Bible. Are you getting what I'm saying? But many of us are not used to living a life of miracles when it comes to your physical needs and your physical situation. And so tonight, I want to show you and lead you to expect to live a life of miracles where your physical needs are concerned. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, to expect and to usher yourself into a life of supernatural provision that God will supernaturally provide for you. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God is able to look after you and that God is able to provide supernaturally for you for all the areas of your life? Do you believe that God is able to cancel your debts supernaturally?
your school loans. Let's get real. You get it. Do you believe that God is able? You see, because many of us are walking and leaping and praising the Lord with our school loans hanging at our back like that. A big burden that you don't talk about. Do you understand? Which you have come to accept as part of you and indeed as part of life. Do you understand? But you know, I've been praying for you, and I've been praying that God will give you what it takes to overcome life in California and Los Angeles. You get it? This is a very expensive city. Do you get it? And everyone who is making it here has some kind of a big break. Do you understand? Yeah. And so if you try to live here without a big break, then here is not for you. And your big break may not be a movie role, but your big break is the ushering of yourself into the supernatural. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is the stepping into the supernatural life that becomes your big break here in LA. Yeah, otherwise LA will send you packing to some place, Idaho, or some place like that, where you can rent a whole mansion for like $150 or something like that. You get it? But LA is for champion of champions. You need some supernatural something on your side to be here. But you're going to be here. I said you're going to be here. Because tonight your supernatural life begins in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I really want to encourage you tonight to become believers in miracles. Hallelujah. Now, although I do not believe that Jesus came to die, and I have to say this because it's Good Friday, that Jesus didn't die on the cross because of your rent. Amen. Yeah, yeah. I hope you know that. Can we square that off before we go on? Right? That the reason why God sent his only begotten son was not for your car. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not the primary reason why Jesus died. Jesus told us why he came in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. And he tells us clearly why he came. And I don't think we should change it. No one should assign a new reason to why Jesus came. Are you getting the picture? The Son of Man is what? Come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, these are the words of the Son of Man himself. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. You see, like sometimes people talk about and gossip about celebrities and important people, you know. And you see some people, especially in schools, you know, in every school, in every class, you have one person who's like a real talkative who knows everything. You get it? Who can explain everything. He knows. He claims to know everything, claims to know everybody. He's met Stevie Wonder before. He's met so-and-so before. And he'll just say, you know, and he dominates every conversation. And he has an explanation for why so-and-so didn't appear at the Oscars. I mean, he knows why, because he had a backache and something. And he knows all these things. You get it? Most of which are often speculation and just lies. Right. Now, you shouldn't allow any such person to explain to you or to tell you why the Son of Man came, when the Son of Man himself, you know, has laid out clearly why he came. Are you getting the picture? John chapter 3:16, the Son of Man is speaking again, and he's telling us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the Son of Man speaking. Do you understand? Is it red in your Bible? Yeah, the red letters in your Bible stand for the speech or speeches of the Son of Man. So the Son of Man is speaking again, and he's saying that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I mean, these are precious scriptures. Every follower of the Son of Man must know these scriptures. Do you understand? And these scriptures must be before you all the time, and they must form the foundation of your relationship with the Son of Man. Does it make sense? Yeah. Right? So the Son of Man has laid out, showed us very clearly, you know, the reason why he came. The reason why he came to die. The reason why he went to the cross. Is all about sins. Is all about salvation. Yeah. And that is the greatest benefit you can derive from the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, once you have settled this and understood that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost, and once you embrace the Son of Man and you start to follow him, then you begin to be introduced to other benefits. Do you understand? And other blessings beyond the forgiveness of your sins, you know, which all seem to be part of the salvation package. Are you getting the picture? They are not the main thing. Nevertheless, they are there. Are you getting the picture? It's not the main thing, but it is there. And because it is there, and especially because you need it so much, then it is worth a teaching about it. And it is worth the encouragement to pursue it. It is worth the encouragement, you know, to set your eyes on it and to take advantage of it too. Because it is there. And if you don't use it, you're going to get to heaven and find out you are supposed to have used that also. Are you getting what I'm saying? Its presence or its absence will not stop you from going to heaven. Because it's not a qualifier for heaven. Do you understand? Heaven is about salvation. Heaven and hell is about sins and forgiveness of sins. Do you understand? If your sins are forgiven and you are saved, you get to go to heaven. If your sins remain and you do not ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and wash you with his blood, then you remain unsaved, and all unsaved people can expect to go to hell. Are you getting the picture? Right. So we need to understand this. Is it very clear to everyone? Okay. So now, the Son of Man, after you begin to follow him, we start to see that one of the great blessings in following the Son of Man is the miraculous meeting of your needs. Miraculous provision that we find in him for your life. And if you find yourself in a situation where that is becoming more and more necessary, then it is important for you to activate that button. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. To activate that button, it's like the hazard button in your car. Most people don't use it. People go for days and days without using it. But the car comes with it for a purpose. Wow. You will not be able to buy a complete car without a button that allows you to turn on both lights, both flashes, to indicate that, you know, people have to be careful. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's part of it. It's not the reason why anybody buys a car. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not the reason why anyone buys a car. But most cars will not be sold without it. Are you getting the picture? And so, if you have the car and you have the button in it and you're in a hazardous situation, then you better turn it on. Activate it. Do you understand? Otherwise, driving your car becomes dangerous. Are you getting the picture? You put yourself in danger because there's a blessing in the car that you're refusing to activate. And a lot of Christians are going to go through this life and they'll make it to heaven okay and find out that there was a button they should have activated while they're on earth. Do you see? And they may even at that point try to activate it, but it will be too late because there won't be any such need. It's like discovering the hazard button after you arrive at home. And when you're home, you see that, oh, there was a button like that. And then you decide, I'm going to turn it on. It's no use at that point. Are you getting the picture? So miraculous provision in Christ begins, first of all, with believing that God is able to meet your needs supernaturally. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Believing that God is able to meet your needs supernaturally. And you beginning to lift up your eyes and look up to heaven for the supply of your needs and not look up to a job or look up to parents or look up to friends or any other source for that matter. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, when you read the Bible, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 19, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 19, the Bible says, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looking up to heaven. Everybody say, looking up to heaven. He said, looking up to where? He took the 5 loaves. I mean, you all are familiar with this story, right? If you back up a little bit, maybe to verse 16. Well, maybe here, this is okay. Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Because the disciples had suggested that the people be dismissed. You get it? You know how it is when you don't want a burden to fall on you. You start to dismiss the person so that he can take his problems elsewhere. You see what I'm saying? So the disciples sensed a problem coming. And they knew that if we keep these people beyond a certain time, now the burden of feeding them will fall on us. All right? So they began to urge Jesus Christ to close the meeting early so that supper time or lunchtime, as the case may have been, you know, does not hit them while the people are with him. You see what I'm saying? So they can go find something to eat in their homes if they have something to eat or not. You get it? It says, well, it says evening, so it must have been dinner. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. You know, give ye them to eat. You get it? Give ye them to eat. You know? And then verse 17, and they say to him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, we don't have enough. So this is why they didn't have enough. This was the reason why they were hoping that the people will leave early. Do you get it? You know, sometimes you have a visitor and you don't have enough. And you are hoping that the visitor will leave early. You get it? Leave early because it's not enough. Do you get it? So as they're talking about something and you quickly want to direct them to the Walmart or something, that they can go there and maybe they can find it, you know, and give them a reason. They tell you they have the keys to the house, and then you keep reminding them, aren't you going to go home now? Because maybe your roommates are coming or somebody else is, you know. You just want them out quickly. The disciples were trying to do it. They said, let them go, let them go, let them go. When Jesus says they don't have to go, give them food to eat, then they reveal the real secret behind this close the meeting, which is that, look, Jesus, it's not enough. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that's all we have. And even among the 12 of us plus you 13, we're just wondering if that's going to go anywhere. You want to add this crowd, Jesus, you're bringing a problem. So verse 18 says, he said, bring them hither to me. That's bring the loaves. Do you get it? bring the loaves that are not enough. The loaves that are not enough, bring them to me. Then verse 19, he says, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves, the two fish, and then looking up to heaven. Do you understand? So the solution to the problem is five loaves, two fish, plus looking up to heaven. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Five loaves, two fish, plus looking up to heaven. Now, the reason why many of us are struggling is because we take the five loaves and the two fish minus looking up to heaven. We have not learned to look up to heaven for a supernatural provision of our needs. To live the life of miracles. He says he looked up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Can you see? They gave to the disciples and the disciples to them. I can imagine how they must have been tempted when they received it to sort of pocket it and hide it, because they didn't know at that time that a miracle had begun. You know, so I'm sure when the first disciples received the first loaves that had been blessed, some maybe may have hidden a loaf or two, something under something, you know, and started to share the rest in case, you know, there's not enough. Are you getting the picture? Now, Jesus is showing us here that if we will look up to heaven, our needs can be met. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's okay to work a job, and it's okay to work hard. But I tell you that hard work alone will not be enough. I mean, you know it. You're already tired. So if somebody is saying hard work, you don't know what they're talking about. What, again, do they want you to do? Do you understand? What do they want you to do? Are you supposed to work harder than you're already working? Are you getting the picture? So Jesus is showing us that it is the little that you have, you know, because most of us, even after working very hard, still wind up with only five loaves and two fishes. Five loaves and two fishes. Not enough. I want to show you some scriptures in the Bible, and I hope they encourage your faith. Are you getting it? Now, Matthew chapter 17. Well, we're reading Matthew. So, well, since we started from 14, let's go to 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, the Bible says, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Hallelujah. You know, some of us feel like God does not care, that God is not sensitive to our needs, that all that God cares about is you coming to church, you singing songs for him, and you working for him. I mean, in our church, we talk a lot about working for the Lord. Do you understand? Yeah. And so we tend to feel that God is not so interested in the petty details that actually make up our daily lives, the things without which we faint, and the things that make it easier for discouragement to set in. You know, the things that make you cry so easily and that make you despondent and make you unhappy so easily, because those things create anxiety. Their absence creates anxiety, and the anxiety that comes with those things leaves you in a situation where it's so difficult. After coming to church, you rejoice and everything, but you leave here and the realities of living seem to confront you so harshly that you lose everything that you came with you or you brought with you from church. Do you understand? But look at this. Jesus said, I have compassion on the multitude. I want you to know that Jesus has feelings. According to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, the Bible says we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched by our feelings. Are you getting it? We do not have a high priest who cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like us we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. Now, when you read on verse 16, it says, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So in time of need, what God is expecting you is to come and ask for mercy and come and ask for grace to help. Are you getting it? And he says, come boldly, come boldly. Come boldly means don't even bother knocking, just come. Means you don't have to write a letter. Do you understand? You don't have to write a letter. He says, come boldly, come boldly, come boldly. Because I can be touched by your feelings. The things that affect you affect me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. So come boldly in time of need. I don't know what need you have, but in time of need, God says, come boldly because I want to help you. You will find, you obtain mercy. Mercy is necessary because when you come boldly before the Lord, one of the things that is going to fight you very quickly and very, very aggressively is the thought about whether you qualify for it or not. The devil is going to tell you, you know how you've been living. I mean, you know that. I mean, where are you going? To God? Please. This way, confession. Go this way first. You know you've been watching all those things. You've been reading all those things. And you are going where? No. You need to be crawling somewhere. Just let the holy ones go. Let the holy ones go. You know, the guys who do stuff in the church. Yeah, then they refer to Pastor Paul and the rest, right? They wouldn't know that even Pastor Paul has his own struggles. The devil is going to tell you, let the holy ones go. Listen, I understand. I know you mean well, but you're not there yet. You get it? You're not there yet. Just try to understand. You're not there yet. Okay, you are trying. You're trying. You're trying, and I respect that, but you're not there yet. Do you understand? So when you come to the throne of grace, the first thing you can expect, God says you will obtain mercy. Do you understand? Now, mercy is the thing that makes you qualify, even when you don't qualify. Do you understand? Mercy is the thing that lets you in, even when no one is being let in. Have you ever been to a place before, like the DMV especially? The DMV guys, I tell you, they have these guys that about 2 minutes to five, she's at the door with the key. 1 minute to five, the key is in the lock. You know, five, she just clicks it. Because she can't wait to go home. You know, and you've been rushing, and you know, most DMVs don't have good parking. So sometimes you made it there before the time, but you're in the parking lot for 10 minutes. And you're waiting and you're in then that 457, you get a spot. But it's at the far end. And then you sort of run from there to the door. It takes you like 2-3 minutes to get there. And when you get there and you're panting and and when you get there, the lady won't even look. She won't even look at you. But you meet these ones occasionally who just look at you, and they look at the way you're panting, you know. And even though the door is locked, mercy, you obtain mercy, you know, and they unlock it. They unlock it and they let you in. And you look at the time and you know you're not supposed to be here, but you're here anyway. And you're grateful, but you're here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He says, come to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy. Then you're going to find grace to help in time of need. And all of that is based on verse 15, because our high priest has feelings. He has feelings. When people are hungry, he can see it on their face. You get it? Sometimes your friends cannot see it on your face. Get it? That's one of the reasons you may not have to wear so much makeup, because it may hide the fact that you're hungry. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Our friends pretend they cannot see. You start to tell your story about when you left home. You know, you left home at 6 a.m. and you've been gone all day and you've been busy and you've been on your feet all day and you're telling the story. This story is supposed to lead to a point. You're hoping that they'll get the point of this long story. You get it? And they don't seem to get the point. And you just keep telling the story, rewinding portions of it, you know. And they're only asking you, so have you done your homework? And they're asking you very stupid questions that have nothing to do with anything. Did you notice in the Matthew scripture, it wasn't the people who were asking to be helped. It wasn't the people who were asking for food. It was Jesus who said, I have compassion on the multitude. Why? Because it's been 3 days. His own calculation, he said, look, it's been a while. Do you understand? If you're a follower of Jesus, you need to develop these types of sensitivities. People don't always have to ask before you make a move. Do you understand? You have to be able to put two and two together and say that it's been 2 days, it's been 3 days, he's been without a job for 2 weeks, he's been without a job for 3 weeks. What do you think? He's driving a car, he doesn't have a job. How do you think the car is moving? Are you getting the picture? Jesus said, I have compassion. And the reason is not because they're asking. It's not because of their looks. It's not because they are crying. But he said, because they have been with me for 3 days and they have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting. Even Jesus didn't like unnecessary fasting. Jesus didn't like fasting that is imposed by conditions. Those of us who think that God is a lover of fasting, you get it? Unless you are fasting, God cannot answer you. You get it? Here is a chance. This is the one to whom we fast and pray, and he's saying, listen, no, there's no fasting here. I'm not letting these people fast. Won't you like to be a follower of this Jesus? He says that I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. I want you to know, to fast is to be without. It's to be without. And I want you to know that Jesus has no plan to send you away fasting. to send you away without a car when you need a car. To send you away without a place to live when you need a good place to live. Sometimes where you live, you can't even pray. You get it? Yeah. Your landlord or landlady has frozen all the space. Yeah. Some of these guys who live with widows. Yeah. An elderly widow who has space in their home and they rent a room or something to someone. But then it's like you walk a tightrope living there. I mean, you can't come in at a certain time. You can't go out at a certain time. You can't have anybody visit you. Your pastor cannot visit you. You know, no one can come to the house. No relatives admitted. And you dare bring a relative to spend the night, rent goes up. I mean, what kind of accommodation is this that is so flexible and so sensitive to slight changes? Jesus has no intention to send you away without. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, I want you to start looking up to heaven. Look beyond your five loaves. Look beyond your jobs. And start looking. Everybody qualifies for supernatural provision. Yeah, everybody. Our meeting point, the place where we all meet, is the point of, or the junction of supernatural provision. That is the place where we all meet. Everyone qualifies for it. Everyone qualifies for a miracle. Everyone qualifies for a supernatural intervention. Everyone qualifies for a provision whose source is unexpected and whose nature is mysterious. Every one of us qualifies for that. Because Jesus has no plan to send them. He said, lest they faint in the way. Right? And so, what's the next verse? Verse 33. He says, and his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? He said, we're in the wilderness. Where are we going to find so much bread in this wilderness? You know, to fill such a great multitude. So these people will be full. You get it? Where in this wilderness are we going to find bread? Now this spot right here is where many of us find ourselves. When we don't know how. And usually in this wilderness is where the loan office is. This is where the lenders, this is where they put their office. At the point when you begin to ask, where in this dry place can I find an answer? That's when your credit card pops up. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's when your credit card pops up. And for many people, this is the beginning of the downward spiral. And this is the beginning of many, many years of trying to catch up and trying to, you know, regain and refine themselves financially. And for many people, it's a lifelong struggle. It's a lifelong struggle. Until you come to accept that you're going to have this trailer forever. Until you come to accept that this is how life is. Until you get to a place where you begin to accept that everybody around you has it. That there's nothing wrong with you having it. Because everyone has it anyway. But Jesus has an answer. He has an answer. He has an answer. In verse 34, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? They said, seven. And a few little fishes. Do you see that? They said seven and a few little fishes. And so in verse 35. 35. Right. So in verse 35, he says, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. Hallelujah. Right? Now, jump quickly to chapter 16. We started from 14. We read 15. No, 16. In 16, verse 9, it says, do ye not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Can you see that? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? You know, you see, I used to think that 5,000 loaves, because the more popular story is the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, isn't it? Yeah, and a little boy's lunch, right? That's the more popular story. That's what I was told when I was in Sunday school. So I grew up knowing that, of course, not having read the Bible myself, I didn't know that there was another story. You get it? Until then, as an adult, one day I read the 7 and the 4, and I began to assume that it's just a disparity in the reporting. You get it? Because, you know, when you have Matthew is at the place and Mark is at the place and everybody's saying what happened, you know, you ask people, you know, you ask somebody how many people are in this room tonight. Somebody's going to say 200. You get it? Then another person, maybe if you count with the angels and everybody, then you get 200. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You see? So different people may give different numbers in different estimates. So I used to think that this was an estimation error. Wow. Do you understand? That this was the account of another one of the disciples. Until I read this one right here, where Jesus is in the same statement referring to both incidents. Do you understand? That both events are referred to by the same person. Then now you know that they're not 2 different accounts. Are you getting it? So Jesus said, do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets took ye up? He asked them that question. How many baskets took ye up? Right? Then neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets took ye up? Then he says, how is it, next verse, verse 11, how is it that ye do not understand that I speak it not concerning you, I speak it not to you concerning bread? Hallelujah. So he's telling them, have you forgotten? Do you not remember? Do you not remember that there were 5, that means on 2 different occasions, you know, we had one situation where there were 5,000 people. We had 5 loaves. And he says, how many baskets did you take up? What he was trying to tell them, remember, I was able to meet your needs and you had excess. You had some surplus. How many baskets? You know, and before they could answer that, he said, do you remember the 4,000 and the 7 loaves also? How many baskets did you take up? Then he says, why don't you get it? Why don't you understand that he's a miracle working Jesus? That Jesus is able to work a miracle, a miracle, a miracle, a miracle, a miracle. That miracles are possible. That miracles are New Testament realities. Miracles are supposed to be part of our walk with the Lord. All these people are experiencing these miracles just following Jesus. Yeah. just following Jesus, and they're experiencing these miracles. These miracles, of course, are not the reason for the following. Because when Jesus invited these guys in particular, Peter and John and so on, to follow him, he said, I'll make you fishers of men. I told you, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't come to bake and to provide bread. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. Jesus will never be a Jesus who just came to provide bread. No. His mission is clear. Souls and souls and souls and souls. But as we follow him to win the souls, then we start to see that miracles are also part of the package. That you can expect to receive a miracle. That you can expect to receive a miracle. You can expect to drive a car that you cannot afford to buy. Yes. Yes. You can expect to miraculously come up with money and just wonder, how did I even pay for this? Yeah, you just wonder, how was I able to pay for this? That miraculously you start to track your life and you see, God has been good. Amen. I've been living a life of miracles. You start to track it and you see, wow. Me? How did I get through this? And you begin to see that it has taken a miracle. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Begin to expect the supernatural in your life. Begin to expect the supernatural in your life. Expect God to take you places that you could not have afforded. Expect God to meet your needs in ways that you could never have imagined. Expect anything. Expect anything. And let your expectations shape even your questions and the requests you make. Yeah, something you should walk into the grant office or something and just ask, is there any grant for me? Just go and ask. Is there any scholarship for me here? I mean, is there anything for me? No, doesn't hurt. But someone who is living a life of miracles expects them anywhere. Do you get it? You expect them anywhere. Some people may think you're crazy, but they don't know that you serve a God who majors in miracles. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's what Jesus was expecting these people to notice. He was expecting them to take it into account. He said, you guys don't remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. How is it that you don't understand? You know, how is it that you do not get this? Look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 49. Mark chapter 6 and verse 49. Now, in Mark 6 and verse 49, the Bible says, but when they saw him walking upon the sea. See, because Jesus is a mysterious Jesus. You get it? He shows up in places where you don't expect him. You get, these guys were on the ocean. They never expected that. Over there also, God will show up. Expect God to show up anywhere. Expect God to show up anywhere. Expect God to show up in the exam room. When your mind has gone blank. Expect God to show up. Because anything is possible. When they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed that it had been a spirit. Do you get it? And it is interesting how they believe a spirit can come there. But they don't believe that Jesus can come there. You know, some of us have more faith in what the devil can do than we have in what God can do. You should hear people telling their stories about witchcraft and demons and devils. You should see people and how fearful and afraid they are sometimes. Because they have so much faith in the negative. They have so much faith in evil. And the potential for evil to happen to them. So much faith in it. But they have very little faith in what God can do against that evil. These people are expecting a spirit. And they have already given the spirit what the spirit would like, which is their fear. You see, and it says, they cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. He said, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Do you get it? They were shocked. But this is the reason, next verse, because they considered not the miracle of the loaves. For their heart was hardened. Can you see that? It says their heart was hardened. And so they considered not the miracle of the loaves. If they had considered the miracle of the loaves, they could have known and not be surprised that Jesus would walk on the water and come there at the time. But they had not considered it. See, many of us have experienced miracles already. Even that you are alive, you know it's a miracle. How you got admission into that school, it's a miracle. How you even got a visa to travel to the United States, for those of you who were not born here, a miracle. But you have not considered that miracle. And the reason is because he says your heart is hard. Your heart is hard. You have a hard heart. I'm not saying it. Jesus said that people who don't consider miracles they have already experienced is because their heart is hard. Everybody has a reference point. Everybody has something they can look back at. Something that should not have happened, but which did happen. Something that should not have worked, but which did work. A door that should not have opened, but which opened. You see, an experience you should not have had, but you did have it. Something you didn't qualify for, but it was given to you. And Jesus says that such miracles are supposed to be for our consideration. Do you understand? In evaluating the way forward and what to expect and how things are going to be. I don't know what miracle you can think of, but I'm sure everybody here can think of a miracle. Miracles of jobs, miracles of cash, miracle money, money that you didn't expect. Money that you didn't think existed. And even if it existed, you didn't think it would ever come to you. You get it? But which found its way to you and into your pocket. People gave you gifts that you didn't expect. And you're supposed to consider those miracles. That's why we have testimonies. That's why we take our time to show the testimony. Even when we don't have testimonies right here in church, we import testimonies from other places. Yeah, because in a larger church, there are bound to be more testimonies than even the time to share them.
That's right.
Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, that's why we take our time. Because the testimonies are supposed to make you wise. They're supposed to advise you. And they are supposed to be for your consideration. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, don't harden your heart. Tell them, don't harden your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. They had not considered deeply the miracle of the loaves. Hallelujah. The miracle of Jesus supernaturally feeding them. Jesus will supernaturally feed you. I said, Jesus will supernaturally feed you. You don't have to come up with all the money. Jesus will supernaturally take care of you. Jesus will supernaturally help you pay your rent. Yes, he will. He will. He will. He will. You must believe in miracles. Tell your neighbor, I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. Hallelujah. May you begin to attract money. Attract gifts. Attract favors. In places that you don't expect. Attract help. From people that you never expected will help you. Begin to attract those kinds of help. In the name of Jesus. Are you understanding the scriptures today? Look at another scripture. Look at another scripture. Look at another one. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. From verse 24, the Bible says, when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and for thee. One for me, one for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you see how Jesus is miraculously providing even for his own ministry? Do you understand? And as he's providing for his ministry, that provision is spilling over to the people who minister with him. So he says to Peter, go and get the fish, get the money, and then go and pay our bills. My bill, the ministry bill, and your personal bill too. Christ is not only interested in paying the bills of the church. To start with, when the people came to ask for the money, Jesus was trying to make a case, you know, and trying to explain that, look, we don't even owe these guys. He said, these taxes are supposed to be paid by foreigners. You get it? And we are natives. So we don't even need to pay these taxes. But we don't want to offend them. Because Jesus was also a peacemaker. You get it? Yeah, he wasn't going to go fight with them. You get it? He wasn't going to go fight with them. And so he told Peter, listen, when you have miracles on your side, you don't have to fight always. When you believe in miracles, you don't have to put up a fight always. There's some things you just let it be. Because you believe in miracles. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. The other day, I took my car to some place that was supposed to fix something, and they charged me a lot of money, and they didn't get to fix it. It wasn't fixed properly. So I took it to another place. The other place said, these guys took money from you, and they didn't fix it. So you should go back to them and tell them they didn't fix it, so they should give you back your money. You know, Then they also tried to do whatever they did. They also charged me money. They also didn't fix it. So I was just thinking, you know, are we going back to these people? Because it's been quite a few weeks now, you know, to go there and go tell the person. Even they would tell me I never brought my car there. You know, to go and fight and go and argue with the person. You know, I said, you know something, just take it. Just take it. This will not make me poor. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But you can only behave like this if you believe in miracles. If you don't believe that God will supernaturally take care of you, you better go back there and go. Park your car in their driveway. And throw the key away. Yeah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah? But you should believe in miracles. You should believe in miracles. Believe in miracles and save yourself unnecessary fights. Sometimes you see roommates are fighting. Over what? Cheese. 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 Lasagna. Huh? Yeah? Milk. Right? Milk. It's like you've used too much. Bananas. Bananas. The bananas have been counted. You get it? And there are about 7 of them. And one roommate has eaten 5. Yeah. And because he comes from Ghana, he added peanuts. So not only is the banana finished, the peanuts also finished. Are you getting the picture? You can avoid unnecessary fights if you're a believer in miracles that God will provide. I said that God will provide. That God will provide. Believe that God will provide. Believe that God will provide. God will look after you. God will look after you. God did not send you to the school to go and beg. If God could not take care of you in the school, he would have had you staying at home. It's not hard for God at all to allow for you to be rejected. It's not hard at all. As a matter of fact, you know, the default occurrence is your rejection. It's rather God's hand that creates an acceptance. Do you understand? So all God has to do is just not to move. You get it? And you'll just be rejected. Because every time you send an application, there are so many other applications. Do you get people who are equally qualified? So many of them. You know, I don't even know how they choose. Sometimes probably someone closes their eyes and they just and then just pick one. You get it? Yeah. So God has to step in anyway. You see, he says, the first fish that cometh up, when thou opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. A piece of money. A piece of money. You get it? And I like the way it says money. You get it? Because if it has said a piece of something else, then the religious people are going to start talking about us and start saying we are talking about money, trying to make everything into money. Do you understand? But look where Jesus knows where to find money. Jesus knows where to find money. Say it with me. Say, Jesus knows where to find money. You said there's no money in Los Angeles. Rephrase your statement. Say, I don't know where to find money in Los Angeles. That's you. But don't say there's no money in Los Angeles. But the good news is that Jesus knows where to find money in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is the capital of a lot of money. That's why they ask for the sorts of monies they ask for. You get it? If you understand a little bit about pricing, you will see that if people keep asking for a certain price and no one is offering it, the price is forced. But when you see price going up and up and up, it means there is a high demand for it, even at that price.
That's right.
There's a lot of money in LA.
Yeah.
I said, there's a lot of money in LA.
Yeah.
There's money here. Money here. Yeah. There's money here. Yeah. Dollars. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. No, I'm not saying this is why Jesus came to die. It's Good Friday. Right? No. In case you came late. Yeah, this is not why Jesus died for us. No. It's just a button in the car. Yes. California is the fifth largest economy in the world. Yes. Yes. If you took California as a country, we would be number five.
Yeah, number five.
It's a lot of money in California. Lots of money. Yes, that's why it's so expensive here. The money is so much, they have to jack things up. You get it? Yes. Otherwise, the money would be in the streets. There's a lot of money here. And Jesus knows where to find money. Look at it. Read it again. He said, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh. See, can you see the precision? This is not a lot of beating about the bush and trying so many different things. You get it? And just hustling and trying so many things. Look, you need to listen to God. Pray about it and allow God to lead you. Look up to heaven. Look up to heaven. Look up to heaven. Look up to heaven. And allow God to lead you. Because it's not as difficult as you think. Think about an ocean, the whole ocean, or a lake, whatever. And there are so many different fishes. What are the odds that the first fish that takes your bait is the fish that has your money? You have to believe in supernatural things. Believe that God can lead you supernaturally. God can give you a supernatural idea. I tell you that God can give. He says, take up the hook, take up the fish that first cometh. If you take up the second one, you'll be poor. Do you understand? Yeah. If you take the second one, you'll be poor. If you reject the first fish, you'll be poor. Do you understand? He said, take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. You shall find a piece of money. I said, you shall find a piece of money. You shall find a piece of money. You shall find a piece of money. Hallelujah. He said, that take. Tell somebody, that take. Yes. It is yours. And then he said, give unto them for me and you see. Now, here's a revelation there first. When you find your money, how are you going to use it? How are you going to use your money? Because sometimes that little point there is how people feel. That's probably the reason why you haven't found your piece of money. Because for some people, they will take, do you understand? And then for them, they will not remember God who showed them how to find the peace of money. That's when people who have money are the people who come up with all sorts of arguments and debates about tithing and about giving to money, giving to God, and giving to God's work and so on. You see, when people have money, they speak proudly. Yes, they speak proudly. You never find a poor man. When next time you see someone standing by the roadside or those guys under the bridge, you know, begging for money and so, just ask them, do you think it's okay to give money to support causes, to support the cause of God and so on? Just ask one of them to see what they say. Beggars are more sympathetic to the cause of God and indeed to other causes. They are more generous than the rich and proud. Do you understand? But Jesus has shown us, when you find your piece of money, remember, it's him first and then you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's him first and then you. Because he is the one who shows you where to find the money. And he said, take it and give it to them for me and then for thee. You're not being left out. But the priorities must be arranged properly. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Always put God first. When you find your piece of money, put God first. Tell your neighbor, when you find your piece of money, put God first. Remember God first. Put God first. Hallelujah. God, his interests, the work of God, the church of God, your tithe, support, Ben MP, and all these things that we are doing. Put God first. Always put God first. Yeah, because without him, you wouldn't have found that piece of money anyway. You wouldn't have found that piece of money anyway. And who knows how much more there is to find? Yeah, who knows how much more there is to find? Who knows how much more there is to find? The other day I heard a testimony. I think it was Bishop T.D. Jakes. There was a testimony of Bishop T.D. Jakes and his house. I think there was a house that he was trying to buy. And for some reason, I forget the story, but it was one of these unusual things. It was difficult. The person wouldn't sell it for some reason, you know. So he goes to buy some different house. And shortly after he moves in, some people come and say that they have found oil in that place where the house he's just bought. So they want to buy him out of that property. He said he was smiling straight to the millions. That's how he became a millionaire. You find it. There's some story somewhere like that. It's just somewhere. Somebody should find it. Yeah. He was smiling all the way to the bank. He said from that day, poverty finished in his life. Yes. Found his piece of money. See, sometimes when you're struggling with something, you shouldn't struggle so much. He was trying to buy a different house. And I think he tried and tried and tried and tried and he lost it. And then so he went for what was available. You get it? Not knowing that was the house. God locked all the doors on this place. He hardened the heart of the owner. They wouldn't sell the house. Yes. So sometimes you think you have found something and you like it so much. You are in love with it and you are crying about it and saying, Lord, why have you let me down? Let you down? Let you down? Wow. He let you up. Hallelujah. Amen. You're going to find your piece of money. Amen. You're going to find your piece of money. Amen. Hallelujah. One day somebody's going to ask you to sell them something you have. Something you have. that you didn't think was worth anything. Somebody's going to find some value in it. Someone says, please sell it to me. Yes. Someone is going to demand that you sell this thing to them. Yeah. And they'll pay for it a price that you weren't expecting to get for selling such a thing. And it's going to allow you to move into a new one. Someone will make you a good offer one of these days. I said, someone will make you a shocking offer one of these days. Because Jesus knows where to find money. He knows where to find money. Hallelujah. As you serve him, you will not be broke.
Amen.
Jesus never said to Peter, follow me and I'll show you how to find money in the mouths of fishes. He said, let's go. I'll make you a fisher of men. When Peter started following Jesus, he wasn't expecting to find money. He was only expecting to find men, to fish men. But he didn't know that in the course of following Jesus to do this work of catching men, he's able also to show you where to find money. Hidden money. Do you get it? Supernaturally finding hidden money. I tell you, nobody was going to find this fish. But Jesus knew it was there. Jesus knew this fish was there. He knew which lake the fish was in. And he knew the fish. He knew the type. You get it? Whether it was salmon or tilapia. Yes. Or snapper. He knew the fish. He knew the one that has the money. The Bible says the silver and the gold, they're his. God knows where all the money is. Are you going to have faith in God? Are you going to have faith in God for meeting your needs? Have faith in God for meeting your needs. Stand to your feet tonight. There are many more scriptures I wanted to share with you, but I don't think we'll have time. Maybe Sunday we'll continue. I don't know. Hallelujah. But tonight I want you to close your eyes and pray and thank God for his interest in your felt needs, that he has compassion. He's able to do much more than you could ever dream. Yes, he's able. You didn't think that God was interested in your situation. Don't accept it. Don't accept to be in debt. Don't accept it. You were born free. If God wanted you to be in debt, you would have been born carrying some debt. You came without it. Don't allow the F to pack it on you. God knows how. It may seem mysterious to you, but look up to heaven. Look up to heaven. Look up to heaven. It was mysterious for Jesus also, except that he did what you are not doing, which is to look up to heaven to supply his needs. To look up to heaven. He did what you haven't done yet, which is to look up to heaven. To look up to heaven. To look up to heaven. God can supply your needs. Stop looking at your salary. Stop looking at your paycheck. Your paycheck is just one small way that money comes into your life. Your paycheck is just one small way that money comes into your life. It's just one passage. It is not everything. It must not be everything. But we have made it everything. And so our lives have been restricted by the size of our paychecks. But God is telling us tonight, dare to dream. Dare to go outside your paycheck. Dare to go beyond your paycheck and place yourself in his hands. Place yourself on the path of supernatural provision, and you're going to begin to discover a whole new way to live. A whole new way to live. A whole new way to live. God is going to help you. God is going to bless you. God is going to provide for you. God will provide for you. God will provide for you. Believe in miracles. 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 Believe in the supernatural. In the supernatural. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. God is able to blow your mind with financial testimonies in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Everybody pray and just commit yourself to the hands of God and say, Lord, from tonight, tonight I am ushering myself into the corridors of your supernatural provision. From tonight, I take myself off my paycheck and I place myself into your mighty hands for provision. I take myself off my parents' pockets and I place myself into your hands for provision. I take myself off my school loans. I take myself off the messes of people. And Lord, I place myself into your hands. I place myself into your hands for provision, for what you can do, what you are able to do. I place myself there tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh God, thank you. Thank you. Makabolo moshotole makatala babaha. Ilalo setele makatala babaha. In the name of Jesus. Mikodorobo seteria lava barababaha. Ekoro shatala mama. Mikodoro shele mekabala babaha. Tell him from tonight, I'm a believer in miracles. From tonight, I'm a believer in miracles. Miracles of provision. I'm a believer in miracles. That when it comes to my needs, Lord, I can trust you. I can trust you. I can trust you to meet those needs in the name of Jesus. Mikolo shetele mikarabalababa. Ibolo shandariyalaba katalababa. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I believe there are many of you here tonight who need a miracle. Perhaps everybody here tonight,
yes, Lord,
needs a miracle.
Oh, yes.
And I want you to lift up your right hand if you need a miracle tonight.
In the name
just
of Jesus.
Lift up your right hand. You need a miracle. I want you to think of maybe a specific area of your life where you know it will take only God. You need a miracle. It will take a miracle. Whatever the miracle is that you need tonight, God is able. Jesus is able. Jesus is able. The Bible says the people were surprised. They were not expecting Jesus to show up when he did. To show up where he did. To show up at the time he did. They were not expecting him. And the reason was because they did not consider the miracle of the loaves. They had not thought about it. They had not thought about it. Tonight, I want you to believe God.
Yes, Lord.
And just say, Lord,
Lord,
this will take you. This will take you. If you don't step in this matter,
oh, Jesus,
this matter will not be resolved. I want you to believe God. Believe God. Whatever it is. Many of you need financial miracles. Your school debts. The loans. Credit cards. And you keep adding to them. But from tonight. From tonight. From tonight. From tonight. You're breaking your dependence on borrowed money. For your existence.
Yes, Lord.
You're breaking your dependence on borrowed money for the car you drive. Breaking your dependence on borrowed money for where you live, for what you wear, for the television in your house. Borrowed money for everything. Break your dependence in the name of Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Because your high priest, he can be touched. Your high priest, he can be touched.
In the name of Jesus.
He has compassion. He has feelings. has feelings.
Yes, Lord. Miracles, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Miracles, oh God.
Father, thank you for a miracle.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for miracles. Angels are handing out miracles tonight. Angels are placing miracles into the hands of God's people tonight. Angels, receive your portion in the name of Jesus. Receive your portion of miracles. Receive the miracle you need. The miracle you need. The supernatural intervention that you need. Receive it tonight in the name of Jesus. Receive it tonight. The supernatural intervention that you need. Receive it tonight.
Receive it.
Receive that supernatural intervention. Whether it is intervention at school. Some of you need supernatural intervention for your grades. In the name of Jesus. You need God to supernaturally intervene. Your grades have not been good. You need God to intervene. Receive that miracle.
Receive it.
Receive that miracle. In the name of Jesus. The miracle of a job. The miracle of a new job. The miracle of a pay raise. The miracle of a pay raise. Receive that miracle tonight. Receive that miracle tonight. In the name of Jesus. Some need a miracle of a car.
Yes, Lord.
Receive that miracle of
miracles,
a car.
Oh God, I receive it.
Something to move around with.
I receive it.
Something good that can take you from
it.
Point to point. Receive that miracle.
I receive it.
Receive that miracle.
I receive it.
Receive that miracle.
Receive
it in the name of Jesus.
I receive it. Yes, Lord.
The miracles of accommodation.
Yes, accommodation.
A good place
miracles,
to live.
Lord.
A good place to live.
Good places to live.
A good place you can afford.
Yes, Lord.
A good place you can afford.
I can afford.
Receive that miracle.
I receive it.
Receive that miracle.
I receive it.
Receive that miracle in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for supernatural intervention.
Supernatural intervention.
Thank you for supernatural intervention. Thank you.
Divine provision
for supernatural intervention in our lives.
Yes, Lord, we thank you
in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, if anybody is sick tonight, may you heal them
in Jesus' name.
Heal them, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Heal them, Lord.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We rebuke sickness.
Yes, Lord.
We rebuke disease.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Receive that miracle now.
Receive it.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessing.
I receive it, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the coming days, we're going to see and hear testimonies.
Amen. I receive it.
We're going to see and hear testimonies.
I receive it.
In the coming days.
I receive it.
You will find your piece of money.
I receive it.
You will find your miracle.
I receive it.
In the coming days.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Give him thanks, everybody.
Oh,
just thank,
we thank you, oh God.
Just give him thanks.
We thank you, Lord.
Just
thank
give him thanks.
Thank you, Lord.
Give
thank
him thanks.
Lord. Thank you, oh God.
Thank
in the
you,
name
Lord.
Of Jesus.
Thank you for the blessing. Thank you. You are a miracle working God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for his
oh, yes.
Thank you, oh God.
Oh,
thank
yes,
you, Lord,
we thank you.
Angels,
our high priest,
yes, Lord,
who has feelings and who can be touched. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord,
for your blessing. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. How many are blessed tonight? How many feel more faith for supernatural provision of your needs? Supernatural intervention. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't call you to follow him so you become impoverished. You can see that was not his plan for Peter at all. The plan was not to leave everything and follow him and not have money to pay your bills.
following Jesus is not supposed to mean you won't have money to pay your bills. Hallelujah. For him and for you. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, it's for him and for me too. Say, there's money for him and for me. Hallelujah.